Chapter 5, verse 8 says, they chose new gods. Then there was war in the gates. They chose other gods. They got war. And they got it in the gates. You know what the gates mean in the east? You go inside the gates into the courtyard. War comes home to roost when you choose other gods. The contention and the strife will be there. And just choosing other gods always will result in war. Look at 2 Chronicles 12. We'll pretty much be staying around here because we're going to look at some of these kings and some of the things that they did and some of the things that they did not do that resulted in war or resulted in peace. And it'll be very clear that the way to peace and prosperity is to stand fast in your allegiance to the one true God and don't let anything get in between that. Because He's your Father. He's the one that wants to have fellowship with you. He's the one that just loves you. He loves you no matter what you do. He's the one that forgives you. He's the one that's provided for you eternal life. And the eye hasn't seen and the ear hasn't heard the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. And He keeps it ready for us. So that when we get there, there won't be one thing lacking. God's ready to go. I don't know what His timetable is, but He's ready. All we got to do is stay faithful. In chapter 12, here we have verse 1, we've got King Rehoboam. And Rehoboam was a bad guy. When you look at these kings, they'll tell you in Kings and Chronicles, he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did good in the sight of the Lord. And you can gain a lot by looking at them. It says, it came to pass when Rehoboam established the kingdom, he strengthened himself and he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. First thing he did wrong was strengthen himself. He didn't strengthen himself in the Lord, and he took the rest of the country with him into idolatrous practices. And it came to pass, verse 2, it came to pass that in the fifth year of King Rehoboam, Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem because they had transgressed against the law, the Lord. You know, we have an adversary who's out there like a lion. He stalks his prey, and he's looking for openings. The biggest opening he's going to get is when people will forsake God and take another route. Then you're open. And he looked for that. And he looked for that. And that invited war. That just gets the adversary all lathered up and it invites him to attack. Weakness will always invite an attack in the spiritual realm or the physical realm. Look at verse 4. And he did attack. In verse 4 it said he took the fenced cities which pertained to Judah and came to Jerusalem. All of this the result of his idolatry. If you look at the last part of verse 5, it said, you have forsaken me, and therefore have I also left you in the hand of Shishak. That's the reason. He forsook God. God had no other choice. You want to walk away? Your protection's over here. You want to go over there? You're going to get a black eye. You're going to get it sooner or later. And Shishak was just the guy to give it to him. He came up from Egypt and gave him war. And brought it all the way to Jerusalem. Chose other gods. He had war at the gates. Right at home in Jerusalem where he lived. Verse 14 sums it all up here. And it's kind of a negative principle of leadership. It said, He did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Now, the other side of the coin on that is a positive principle of leadership. That a leader will prepare his heart to seek the Lord. Remember Ezra who, with Nehemiah, led the children of Israel out of Babylon. In Ezra 7:10, it says that Ezra prepared his heart to seek the Lord and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. He did that. And that's why God can work and deliver His people in that situation. When you don't have that, you don't see the deliverance. And the reason is because people forsake God and go another route. Look over at chapter 13. Again, you got bad leadership. And here you've got King Jeroboam. In verse 4, Abijah here stood up on Mount. Abijah was the king of Judah. And what you've got to remember when you see Israel and Judah, Israel was comprised of, I think, Judah and Benjamin, two tribes. The other 10 tribes were up north. And they had a different king because you had a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. Abijah was the king of Judah over two tribes. And Jeroboam and Rehoboam were Israel over 10 tribes. So they were bigger and all that kind of thing, but that's all right. And Abijah stood up on verse 4 on Mount Samaria, which is in Mount Ephraim, and said, Hear me, thou Jeroboam and all Israel. Ought ye not to know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingdom of Israel to David forever, even to him and to his sons by a covenant of salt? Yet Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the servant of Solomon, the son of David, is risen up and rebelled against his Lord. And here is the major thing that he did wrong. And he gathered unto him vain men, children of Belial, and have strengthened themselves against Rehoboam and the son of Solomon when Rehoboam was young and tender-hearted, and he could not withstand them. He surrounded him with people whose allegiance was to the devil, the children of Belial. These were men who were sold out in their allegiance to the devil. And these were his counselors. When you read the records in Kings, you find out he didn't listen to the older counselors. He went to these guys. And they just gave him bad advice all over the place, but he followed it. And that's what led to it. And, you know, the consequences were inevitable. If you look over at chapter 14, we have another king here, and his name was Asa. In verse 2 it said, Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. So that tells you a little bit about Asa. We've got a change going on here. Why? Verse 3 it says, he took away the altars of the strange gods in the high places and break down the images and cut down the groves. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. He took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. No nation can have peace and quiet when idolatry is rampant. And it's rampant in our country all over the place today. I think that... How many of you just know those channel surfers you got? They're real great if you want to catch a psychic network advertisement. They're all over the place. The adversary is on television. He probably thinks the television age is great. He can get on all the time, 24 hours a day, and just have all kinds of fun. But here, our nation is not standing in war as we think of war, if you define war like World War II or World War I, a big war. But we don't have quiet and we don't have peace in the country. Not in our families, not individually. Because of that. And another great point here in verse 6, and he built fenced cities in Judah, and the land had rest, and he had no war in those years because the Lord had given him rest. Only God can give peace. Only God can give rest. And then you can build. You can build hospitals. You can build highway systems. You can build educational systems. You can advance in engineering. You can advance in every cultural thing that you can think of. But you can't do it when you're on a war mentality. You can't do it on a wartime economy, because there's just nothing left, because war just takes it all. Verse 7. Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers and gates and bars, while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord God. We have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. That's how you build and prosper, with peace and not war. But in verse 8, there's a great interesting point too. Asa had an army. That's what it says. Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears in Judah, 300,000. And out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows, 280,000. All of these mighty men of valor. And when you look at these mighty men of valor from David on, you find that these were men who were sold out to the king, who were sold out to the true God, and they also had no idolatry in their lives. They would chop a grove down so fast it would spin your head. They had one guy with David went to battle, killed 800, and they had to pry the fingers off his sword at the end of the day. Said they were fierce as lions. They looked like lions, I guess, because they had beards. So they were pretty mean guys. But they loved God, they loved their families, they loved their king, and they were willing to learn the arts of war and become highly skilled in the arts of war and have the discipline to carry out war if it was necessary, and if necessary, to give their lives. Nobody wants to fight, but somebody's got to know how. Verse 9, and there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian, a host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots. And he came to Maresha. And Asa went out against him, and they set in battle array in the valley of Zephatha at Maresha. And Asa, here's the leader again, cried unto the Lord and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. And in thy name we go against this multitude, O Lord. Thou art our God. Let no man prevail against who? Against thee. They believed God was their first line of defense. They had men who could draw the bow. They had men who could go to war. That was their second line of defense. The first line of defense was their allegiance to the true God. Well, anyway, they go out and they whip these guys. And on returning to Jerusalem, you get to chapter 15. It said, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. He went out and he met Asa and said unto him, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. If you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. And they were going to take it a step further here now. First, he had a king who was sold out to the true God, and he was strong. He had a military backing him that was also led by great men who were also strong in their allegiance to the true God. Now they're going to move to see that the people understand the word and the people become strong. That's the strength of the nation. When the people are strong within themselves, it absolutely will bring peace and prosperity, because your enemy will not want to attack you. Because not only do you have an army, but you have people who are strong also. Verse 3, it says, now for a long season, this is part of the prophecy, now for a long season Israel had been without a true God, without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. You know, this is what God wanted said. This is what the prophet of God said. This is what was on God's mind, that his people were without a priest, without the law, without the teaching. They weren't being taught the word. And because of that, became weak. And he was taking steps here to strengthen them. And Asa was just the guy to do it. Verse 4. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. In those days, when they didn't have the teaching priest, in those days there was no peace to him that went in, nor to him that came, him that went out, nor to him that came in. But great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. No peace. Well, what do you expect? All you had to do was go look back at verse 3. That's not too hard to figure out.